Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome. This is Watcher Ruth, and you're listening to my program Here, There, and Everywhere, where we talk about the lunatic fringe, the unthinkable, weird things that you don't want to know. We still all talk about, but absolutely need to. It's 8 o'clock on March the 4th, day of our Lord, 2013. Thank you for joining me this morning. I turned 60 last Monday. Kind of spent the last week reminiscing my former life. And boy, I had I'd call it burning the candle on both ends early. Early life, and boy, it was sure fun. And I look back at that youthful, just unknowing, unseeing, unawareness, and how blind I really was, and how wonderful it is now that I have eyes to see and ears to hear. And blessed are those who have seen and believed. But more blessed are you, because you are the fig tree generation, and you have eyes to see and ears to hear, and you know without seeing, but still believe, and know where you're going. Hallelujah, isn't that wonderful? And for those who pursue the Word of God on a daily basis, the wisdom, the discernment, the understanding that reveals the oracles of God to those who pursue it, we always turn to the letter written. To each and every one of us, it's written to each and every one of us, and when we pray to the Holy Spirit to reveal the secrets that are held within to each one of our hearts in a different way. And each and every time we read it, if we lay our hearts down before the Lord, have a guest call-in number. If you want to talk to me, sweet talk me or yell at me, give me a call. 347-945-5170. You know, you're not always going to be popular in the world, because if you're friendly with this world, you're in enmity with God. Remember that. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house to sacrifice. I shut up heaven that there will be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send a pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. My eyes are now open, and my ears attend unto the prayer that is made in this house. And if you will walk before me as David did, and as David's father did, and do all that I've commanded you to do, to observe all of my statutes and my judgments, then I will establish my throne according to how I have covenanted with David, David's father. And then there will not fail to be a ruler in Israel. Boy, we're looking for that ruler, aren't we, right now? We're calling out to the Lord every day with our hearts contrite, prayerful, aware that we're the fig tree generation, we have but a short time. Pull those saints that are predestined, bring them into awareness. Father God, creator of the universe, discussed with me this morning that it's his mindfulness that we pursue the information in the book of Acts, chapter 2. So there's where I'm going today. 7 weeks had gone by since Jesus' death and resurrection. And the day of Pentecost had now arrived. And the believers were meeting together that day. And suddenly there was a sound like a roaring of a mighty windstorm in the skies above them. And it filled the house where they were meeting. And then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on their heads. And everyone that was present was filled with the Holy Spirit and then began speaking in languages no one had ever known. For the Holy Spirit had given them this ability. Many godly Jews were in Jerusalem that day for all the religious celebrations taking place, and they had arrived from many different nations. When they began to hear the roaring of the sky above the house, and then the crowds that came running about to see what it was, they were all stunned to hear their own languages being spoken by the disciples. And each one of them said to each other, "How can this be? These men are Galileans. Yet we stand here and hear them speaking our native languages from where we were born. Here we are, Parthians and Medes and Elamites, men from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia and Pontus and Achaia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, Cyrene language areas of Libya, visitors from Rome." They were both Jews and Jewish converts, Cretans and Arabians. And we were all here, these men, telling in our own languages all about the mighty miracles of God. We all stood there. We were amazed and perplexed. What does this mean? We were asking each other. But everyone else in the crowd was saying, "They're all drunk, that's all. They've been drinking." But Peter stepped forward and said, with the 11 disciples, and shouted out to the crowd, "Listen, all of you, you visitors from all the nations, and even you residents of Jerusalem alike. I hear you saying, these men are drunk, but that's not true. It's too early for these men to drink. People don't drink at 9 o'clock in the morning. No, what you see this morning was predicted centuries ago by the prophet Joel, stating that in these last days, God said, I will pour out my Holy Spirit upon all of mankind, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men, they will dream dreams. Yes, the Holy Spirit shall come upon all of my servants, men and women alike, and they will prophesy. I'm going to cause strange demonstrations in the heavens above, and in addition to that, on the earth below. So when you see blood and fire, and then clouds of smoke, when you then see the sun turning black before you, when you see the moon turning blood red before, just before that awesome day, the day of the Lord, prophesy. Prophesy. But anyone who asks for mercy from the Lord shall have it, and they will be saved. O men of Israel, listen. I stand here. God publicly endorsed Jesus of Nazareth by doing tremendous miracles through him. As you well know, but God, following his prearranged plan set forth before the foundations of the earth, let you use the Roman government to nail him to the cross and murder him. Then God released him from the horror of death. And then God brought him back to life again. Death could not keep his grip on this man. King David quoted Jesus as saying, I know the Lord is always with me. He's helping me. God's mighty power supports me. No wonder my heart is filled with joy and my tongue shouts his praises, for I know all will be well with me in death. You will not have my soul in hell, or let my body of your Holy Son decay. You will give me back my life and give me wonderful joy in your presence. Dear brothers, think. Dear brothers, think. David was not referring to himself when he was speaking these words that I have just quoted to you. For he died and was buried, and his tomb is still among us. But he was a prophet and knew God had promised with an unbreakable oath that one of David's own descendants would be sitting on David's throne and that he would be the Messiah. David was looking far into the future, and he was predicting the Messiah's resurrection and saying that the Messiah's soul would not be left in hell, and his body would not decay. He was speaking of Jesus, And we are all witnesses that Jesus rose from the dead. And now he sits on the throne of the highest honor in heaven next to God. And he has promised. The Father gave him the authority to send the Holy Spirit with the results you are seeing and hearing today. David was not speaking about himself when he spoke these words I just quoted to you. He never did ascend into the sky. And then he also further stated that God spoke to my Lord the Messiah and said to him, sit here next to me in the seat of honor. And then until I can bring all of your enemies under you and into complete subjection. Therefore, I hear now clearly state to everyone in Israel that God has made this Jesus, your crucified, to be the Lord, the Messiah. These words of Peter moved them deeply, and they said to him, to the other apostles, brothers, now what should we do? After they had crucified him and rejected him and hung him on the cross, these words of Peter's moved them. And they said to Peter, and they said to the other apostles, what should we do now? And then Peter said to them, each one of you must turn from sin and return to God. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin. And then you shall receive this gift, the Holy Spirit. Christ has promised this to you. He did. Each one called by the Lord our God, and your children, and even those in far and distant lands. And then Peter started preaching a very long sermon talking about the Lord Creator Jesus Christ and strongly urging all of those listening to save themselves from all of the evils of their nation and even those who believed were then baptized. There were about 3,000 at that time, and they all joined with all of the other believers. And then they regularly attended one of the apostles' teachings. And at these sessions, sometimes they even received communion services. But mostly they had prayer. And within them and in their hearts and in each and every one of them, they had a deep sense of awe. Within each and every one of them, they had done many miracles. And all of the believers, they were always meeting together. And they were sharing these miracles with each other. And even so, some of them sold their possessions and divided it among the brethren. They always worshiped together. They used the temple regularly each day, meeting sometimes in small groups in homes for communion. They tried to share meals together because they shared the great joy of belief, of knowing, not seeing yet, but the joy and thankfulness that they had the world of Christ to come, the blessings of those that believed and not yet had seen, always praising God. God added to them, all of them, those who were going to be saved. Faith in Jesus' name. Faith. Crying out to God. Jesus Christ. The Sadducees and the Pharisees and those unrighteous ones demanding the murder of Jesus Christ. Killing the author of life. But the Father brought him back again, where he remains right now until all that was prophesied will come to pass, until the time where the final recovery of all things from sin is prophesied from the ancient time, from Moses, from long ago. Then those apostles stated, as we as apostles must state, in today the fig tree generation, the last generation who have but a short time to witness in the power of Jesus Christ, that there is no power in any other name but Jesus Christ, the man, the Messiah, the man that was crucified, the one that God raised back to life again. And it's by his authority that man stands today, putting death and destruction, the man of perdition, the one who kills, comes to kill, steal, and destroy, under their feet. And these are wonderful things the Father has told us. There's no salvation in anyone else under all of heaven. There is no other name that men to call upon to save them. Acts 4:12. I had a little talk with somebody about documentation of certain things. You know, you go around in the world, you try to tell these people the truth, and they just don't want to hear any of them. Truth. They've never gone into the Bible and really teased out what it is that is true. So I want to throw a couple of addresses out in reference to giants. So you can go there and mark it in your Bible, and let's go to Deuteronomy. There are so many, but let's talk about Deuteronomy chapter 2. And in verse 10, it says, the Emims dwell therein in times past, the people great and many and tall as the Anakims. And then in verse 11, it goes on to say, which were also accounted giants as the Anakims, but the Moabites called them the Emims. So there is one reference to the giants. We're going to skip down now to verse 20, where it says, that also was accounted to the land of the giants. Giants dwelt therein in old times, and the Ammonites called them the Zumimims. 21 says, a people great and many tall as the Anakims, but the Lord destroyed them before them, as he did the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, which he destroyed, the Hormims. They were also another bunch of giants. Okay, so let's go over to chapter 3. And we're going to go to verse 11. For only Og, the king of Bashan, remained as a remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rehoboth, the children of Ammon? So anytime you hear a reference of Ramon or Ramah, those are giants. And then in verse 13, it talks about in the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, being the kingdom of Og, I gave on to the half-tribe of Manasseh, of Argob, with all of Bashan, which was called the land of the giants. So there are a couple of specific references. And then we're going to go to Joshua. And then in Joshua, there's quite a few references. But, you know, he just stated that the half-tribe of Manasseh was given the land of the giants. And so in Joshua 11:21, it says, and at that came Joshua, who cut off the Anakims from the mountains, from Hebron, from Debir, and from Anab, from all of the mountains of Judah, and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. There were none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and Ashdod there remained. So he killed off these hybrid angels and divided that land, and the land rested. Then in chapter 12, in verse 4, it goes, in the coast of Og of Bashan, which was the remnant of the giants that dwelt at Ashtaroth and Edrei. There's, excuse me, okay, and then we have the children of the giants in 1 Chronicles in chapter 20. It talks about Goliath and all of those at the end of verse, at 20 in verse 8. These were born unto the giant in Gath. They fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. So, I'm getting ready to run out of time here, but I will bring forward some other addresses that are helpful as far as demonstrating that there were giants, who they were, how that bloodline continues to formulate our current worldviews, not ours, but the worldviews, and why we need to remember that this dark force, these principalities and powers, is referred to in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10, going through maybe 18, 19. Principalities and powers, we need to start armoring up, getting ready to fight this, using the inspiration and armor that God is giving us. If we fall before him with a contrite heart, he truly knows our hearts. He truly knows what we think. And all is revealed to him. He is the potter. We are the clay. He has decided who will be the chamber pot and who will be the vessel that holds the wine. And he said, do not question me. I am the potter. You are the clay. I will determine your destiny, for I know the plans I have for you, plans for hope and a future, plans not to harm you, but to help you. Go forward, family. Be a blessing to someone today. I hope I gave you some inspiration and some words of wisdom out of the Lord's little letter that he wrote to each and every one of us. And God willing, I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. If you're tuning in archive, thanks for tuning in. God bless you all. Hope to see you again tomorrow. Amen.